Five or Flop, a podcast for the best and worst historical fiction has to offer. I'm your host, Erin.
And I'm Grace, and we're here with a very special guest for our very special bonus episode.
And today's bonus topic is character birth charts. So we're going to be diving into the astrology, birth charts, all of that of some of our favorite characters and least favorite characters, lest I forget, from season one.
To do that, we have joining us here today our favorite astrology expert, Noelle.
Hi, Pod. My name is Noelle. I am Erin and Grace's friend. I would not say I'm that big of an astrologer expert. I'm more of a side hobby that I got into in undergrad and somehow have became the resident friend group astrologer. And I'm still in my novice stages. So for any astrologers that are out there listening, please take it lighthearted. But definitely super excited to be on the pod and talk about one of my favorite topics and just deep dive into this.
Yeah, and we're excited to have you here. So before we get into the characters we're doing, you said your interest in astrology started back in undergrad and you've been kind of growing that interest. I know during COVID, Noelle and I did a lot of birth charts together for a lot of different individuals, specifically men in our lives at the time. And we've had a lot of fun. And fun fact, Noelle shares a birthday with my dog, Flynn. So they have a lot of overlap in their birth chart.
Yeah, I got into astrology during freshman year of college. That was like fall of 2016. And I went to undergrad in Texas. And the school that I went to is super liberal and just kind of like very open to different kind of like niche topics. And one of my friends was already kind of like into astrology before like I got into it. And so I would always hear her talking a little bit more than just like my sun sign. And I'm kind of like how Erin was saying, like, I'm a Libra, born October 6th, just as Flynn. And I didn't know that there was more than just one astrological sign that was important who makes up you and like yourself as a person. And so I just got really into it after I met my friend and she kind of like gave me the tools to learn about astrology and like reading birth charts and what like different positions and degrees and like houses each of the planets are in. It's just like super interesting. And then it kind of like spiraled even more after I graduated in 2020 during the quarantine because we had nothing else to do besides like just looking at the stars and reading deeper into it.
So some people started baking their own sourdough. Some people were making that like whipped coffee and you were doing birth chart.
Yes. And now it's like my party bar trick. And whenever I meet a guy at the bar, I'm like, so what time were you born? When's your birthday? And there was one time, funny side topic story, but I was in line when I used to live in New York at Prince Street Pizza after going out with some friends. And the line was pretty long, so we were trying to kill time. And this guy in front of us just like sparked up convo. And I think he was from Texas too. And I just asked him, I was like, what's your sign? And then he was like, could you guess? Like a very stereotypical guy. And I ended up guessing it. And then he was like sold into me, quote unquote, being an astrologer. And I was like, okay. And he gave me his birth time. And I was just like reading about it. And then he got kind of defensive and was like, how do you know this? Like, why are you telling me all this?
Blah, blah, blah.
It was like really hilarious. But now it's just like a bar trick. And I would love to eventually become like a better astrologer. There's just so much behind it that like we can keep learning on.
Well, we are very happy to give you some practice in terms of our podcast characters. So let's get into who we have on the table. Grace, what do you think? Should we announce our characters up front or, you know, kind of unveil as we go?
Let's unveil as we go.
Okay. So starting number one, we know her. We love her. We hate her a little bit. Lily of Snowflower and the Secret Fan. We have her exact birth date and location. And we assume there's a lot of overlap with Snowflower as they are old sayings. So Noelle, take it away.
Awesome. So I would love to preface to the pod that I have not read any of the books that these characters are in. So I'm coming in very unbiased. And this is kind of like my raw emotions and just reactions based on looking at their birth chart and the information that's given in the books.
Which is better because then it's not, you're not like lying to match the personalities that are in the books. Mm-hmm. Like you're getting your raw, unfiltered truth.
This is organic.
Yes, super organic, literally unbiased. I have no idea if what I'm going to be saying is accurate, how it's portrayed in the books.
Okay, go for it.
So Lily was born June 5th, 1824 in China. And so I am reading this for the professional astrologers listening in Holstein House. So to preface, in astrology, there's different ways that you can interpret different birth times and birth dates. There's like Placidus and Holstein, and then that's just like the Western astrology approach. And then there's more like Eastern astrology, but I'm not really well versed in Vedic
Okay.
astrology yet. Would love to get into it. So this is being read. All these charts are going to be read
That'll
in.
be a season two bonus once you get into it. We'll bring you back and do this again.
Oh, I hope I can learn Vedic astrology, but it's so hard because it's basically in like another language, but that's a goal. But looking at the birth chart from a whole sign perspective. So obviously, Lily being June 5th, she's a Gemini. So her sun is actually, we obviously don't have a time, so I can't really tell you her rising. And it's key to have your time when reading a full, like accurate reading of a birth chart, because the time actually gives you an accurate depiction of like the rising. And so for some background, the rising sign, obviously you know what a sun sign is. It's like the default. Oh, when someone asks you what your astrology sign, you go with X, your birthday. But the rising is another placement on top of the moon sign, just to give you guys some glossary terms. Your moon sign rules your emotion. It's the planet of your emotions. And essentially, depending on the sign that that planet is ruled by, will kind of depict how you react emotionally in situations. And then your rising sign is the sign that essentially like gives off like your first impressions to strangers. It's your outwardly personality, while your sun sign represents like who you are to your core, and your rising is like how you are to the world and how you're depicted to the world. So I can't tell you the rising for Lily, but her sun sign is in Gemini, and Geminis are typically known for being very playful, very witty. They're also known for constantly always just kind of needing to be stimulated. So whether that be from like an emotional perspective, but or also from like a mental perspective. So they're always kind of needing to be on the go, doing something to keep themselves going. Looking at her birth chart, her sun and her Mercury are both in Gemini. So Mercury, for context for all of my non-astrological listeners, is like the planet of communication, and the way that she communicates also kind of resembles a little bit of Gemini qualities. And so again, like always, there are people that have Gemini in their Mercury placement. They love to constantly just like be talking about like their natural yappers. Like they love to talk. They love to like talk
So
about
like us.
everything. Yes, exactly.
So the funny thing is that you mentioned communication. Communication plays a massive role in this book because it's all about like this written language that only women are fluent in. And the whole conflict of the book is about like a very simple miscommunication between the two main characters.
Well, it's
Interesting.
also interesting that you bring up that Lily is a Gemini, because the other theme of the book is that Lily and Snowflower are old sames, like they're two halves of the same person, basically. So, and you know, I don't know anything about astrology really, but I do know that Gemini is twins. So I wonder if Lisa C did that on purpose.
She could have.
It
Without
definitely.
being Lisa C, it would not surprise me.
It's definitely intentional, because it's funny that you said that communication kind of like rules, like it's a main theme of the book. And people that are natives with Mercury and Gemini, they tend to also constantly like always want to try out like different hobbies. They're very, so Gemini is an air sign. And so air signs are Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. And people that are normally ruled by any sign that's an air sign that falls in with this particular element, they're constantly very like adrift and like very go with the flow, very airy. They're able to be well adept to like different environments and situations. But even more so with Geminis, like they're kind of stereotypically, I don't want to lean into the stereotype, but yes, they are represented by the twins in their symbol, but they're also culturally known as like, oh, like stereotypically being two-faced, or like kind of having like dual personalities. Or ultimately what it means is like at their core, they're just able to kind of adapt to like different environments or like situations, and be able to come a lot more in tuned with whoever they're talking to in order to satisfy their needs. So it's interesting that you say that communication is like a big theme within the book, because Gemini is actually ruled by Mercury by nature, which is the planet of communication. So for you to have your sun sign in Gemini and ultimately be ruled by Mercury itself, communication is a big major theme within her birth chart.
So I would say, if we're going to summarize it very basically, her birth chart is accurate to the character. Would you agree, Grace?
I would agree.
So with that, Let's move on to our next one. Grace, you want to introduce this famous character?
Our enemy, it's Saul McIvy from A
We
Land
hate him.
Remembered.
Iconically awful. If you remember what happened at the end there, he like was a terrible capitalist and then blamed everyone else, but took no ownership for any of his role in it. And then just
Third
got
and worst
literally walked away.
generation.
Yes, the worst generation. So, all right, Noelle, hit it.
Okay, so I literally texted both Aaron and Grace when I pulled this date and kind of like reading this bird chart. I was like, are we sure this is accurate? Because when I first saw it, I was like a little bit shook because this character literally has six planets in Taurus, which is terrifying. So, how you said, I mean, I'm Spanish, so I would say soul, but it's pronounced, okay.
Saul, kind of however you would pronounce it is
Okay,
fine.
cool. His birthday being March 12th, his sun sign is in Pisces. And so now we're shifting over. We talked about Gemini for a little bit, but Pisces, for context, is known within the astrological signs as being like a big dreamer. And so his sun, honestly, is the only placement that has is ruled by Pisces. Everything else in his birth chart is ruled by Taurus, his moon, his Uranus, his Mars. I think that's Jupiter and his Chiron. They're all in the sign of Taurus. And Tauruses are known. So this is kind of like going back to how prefaced how like culturally we're like, oh, what's your sign? And you just go with like your birth date. But there's more to that than just your sun sign. And so this is kind of like what goes into that background that you guys just gave. Tauruses are known for being very stubborn, but they also are very, they're ruled by Venus. So Libra and Taurus are the only two signs that are ruled by Venus, which is the planet of love. But in the difference between Libra and Tauruses, Libras tend to be more ruled towards like relationships and romance and kind of like the intangible, while Tauruses, on the other hand, are ruled more by status and power and like tangible success, materialism.
I know
Aaron.
y'all listeners can't tell because you're just listening to audio, but Grace and I just made a face at each other
You went,
because that is so true.
And that's not the only thing that I want to call out in his birth chart. So his sun, as I mentioned, is in Pisces. So big dreamer, always kind of aloof a little bit to his core, but his moon being in Taurus shows us that he's stubborn when it comes to his emotions. And then I want to dive into Mercury, like we were talking about last chart. His Mercury is ruled by Aquarius, his Venus is an Aquarius, and his Mars is an Aquarius. So for background and more astrological terms to add to your glossary, Venus, again, as I mentioned, is like the planet of love. It's ultimately how you approach your both romantic and platonic relationships. And then Mars is a planet of aggression, but it also shows like your plan, your aggression towards like success and ultimately like what fuels you to drive. And so Mercury, Venus, and Mars are all ruled in Aquarius. Aquarius, just like Gemini and Libra, are in the sun, are ruled by the element of air. And so they're very, Aquariuses in particular are innovative, and they're kind of also always, they're stereotypically known for being like the loner of all the signs. They're the second to last sign in the astrological calendar, and they're very motivated by trying to make how they can like make the world a better place.
Which
But
is almost like what Sol was trying to get at the end of the book, except he did a very bad job of it. Flopped. Flopped.
well, it's interesting to have these placements and like looking at the Pisces and the Taurus moon with the sun being in Pisces. He seems to be a little bit more like, although he's ruled by Aquarius, he still has that innate kind of like his self-purpose at its core is still like self-motivated, but he tries to cover up that like self-motivated drive to try to make it like a greater, like for the greater good. Oh, this, like, I know what's good. And so I'll impose this into like the greater population because it's like what will be best because I know what's best.
This is
Yeah,
scary accurate,
this
Emily.
is actually very scary accurate.
Is it actually?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for real. Like, I think you Googled the book and then lied and said you didn't. You know
That's what it
what?
sounds like. For our next character, not really a character at all. He's our favorite poet slash deadbeat dad,
And
William
of course, we're
Shakespeare.
talking about the father and the husband.
The father and the husband, because he is not named William Shakespeare in the book, but we know him as William Shakespeare. So he is from the book Hamnet, our probably favorite, most iconic book in the entire universe, I would say. But because William Shakespeare is a real person, I assume that made the research process a little different for you.
Yeah, it did. It was a little bit easier because pulling, well, this might be a spoiler, but trying to pull Hamnet, who is also another character that I'll be deep diving in, was a little bit harder just because all my astrological websites that I used to pull didn't provide birth chart information beyond the before 1800.
Okay,
So
understandably.
1500 was
Well,
really
and
hard to pull.
also because Shakespeare is famous, we know when he was born. We don't know exactly when Hamnet was born.
Yeah, Hamnet was also a real person. Hamnet is Shakespeare's son, but there's no exact birth date like recorded. So that it's a little speculation as well.
Oh, okay. That I did not know. More you know. Okay, so this was a little bit easier to pull. I, again, although he is a famous person, I didn't read any pre-written descriptions or anything. Like, I'm simply just looking at the birth chart itself and like the placements and planets. So for William Shakespeare, his sun is in Taurus. I'm going back into our last friend's soul's planets. And then his moon is in Cancer. And again, we don't know what time he was born, but just based on speculation, people say it's in Cancer. Shakespeare being a Taurus sun, obviously ruled by Venus. So he has an affinity for the arts. But again, as I mentioned, Tauruses are ruled more by the tangible and like actual like finer things in life, like the very stereotypical like luxury that comes in beauty and art. So very much makes sense as to why he became a playwriter and ended up becoming successful ultimately. With his moon sign being in Cancer, he's very in tune with his emotions. He's very, I would like to say, self-aware, and like having the sun and the moon in Taurus and Cancer, there's a lot of just harmony in that, just because Taurus is, although ruled by Venus, it's an earth sign. And then Cancer is a water sign. Earth and water tend to mix very well, and just shows even more that he's very in tune with his emotions and very kind of like self-aware of what happens around and within him. And then his Mercury, the planet of communication, is an Aries. So very much makes sense. Aries is a very strong, bold, kind of fiery planet. It's also the first planet in the astrological calendar. So it's oftentimes a little bit childlike when it comes to forming different arguments, and whenever they're not much of a developed sign as you get later down in the calendar year. It's kind of hard to explain, but it just shows that it's a very like bold placement to have in Mercury. And so looking at Shakespeare's birth chart, again, prefacing that we don't know his exact birth time, but based on kind of what the internet has said, they're assuming he's a Cancer rising. And if that is accurate, then that would put his planet of communications in the 10th house. And I kind of preface this a little bit with how in astrology, there's more than just your sun sign. And it goes beyond also just like the planets too, like how I mentioned, there's Mercury, Venus, et cetera, all these planets. And when you actually look at the birth chart itself and you Google birth chart, you'll kind of see like different houses or like different little phases within the circle. And so the 10th house is actually the house of career. If you have a placement in the 10th house, it tends to show kind of like where in your career you'll be most successful. And the fact that he has his planet of communication in his 10th house shows that like he was going to be successful in all forms of communication, and obviously showing that through his writing.
That makes a lot of sense. He did that. Him being a little bit like, as you say, like the childish elements also make sense. Kind of shirked his responsibilities.
Abandoned his family, no big.
Yeah, it happens. Grace, who are we talking about next?
Next, we're going for another real life true figure queen, and that is our Mata Hari.
Awesome. Okay, so Mata was born August 7th, 1876, in the Netherlands. So, looking at the birth chart, August 7th, that's the sun in Leo, which I love. I love Leos. But looking further into the other planets, moon in Pisces. So, again, a moon in Pisces native, like I said, Pisces are very dreamlike, very, I don't like mean this mean. I love Pisces, but they're always kind of like floating. They're kind of like always in like their own little like dreamland and never kind of like grounded. And so, to have your moon sign in Pisces, they're kind of just always they're never going to be really like self-aware. They're stereotypically kind of like known in the same nature as like Cancer Moon natives, and they're crybabies because ultimately they're ruled by this element of water. But with Pisces and Moon in particular, you're just kind of always going to be floating with your emotions. You're kind of like never going to be grounded. And pair that with the Sun in Leo. Leo is ruled by the element of fire. Leos are known for being, and they're also ruled by the sun. So they are known for being very big and bold and confident and proud in themselves. And so just mixing those two elements, water and fire, don't really mix well as often. But looking further down into the chart, oh, and actually, seems like they were born on a full moon. And so being born under a full moon just heightens even more that sign that the moon was in when you were born. Definitely, they're always kind of like weird, like airy, kind of like floating around, not really sure how to react to things emotionally. And they tend to have like really reactive, either like strong tempers, which even more will align with that Leo and Sun placement, but also they tend to be like kind of like crying and then like get over really fast, like, oh, okay, I don't know why I was crying, but they're just very strong reactive emotions. And then the Mercury is in Leo. This person actually has a stellium in Leo. So a stellium is when you have three or more planets in the same sign. Oh, they have two stelliums looking at this chart. They have a stellium in Leo and a stellium in Pisces. Their Mercury is in Leo. So kind of like the Aries Mercury placement, because it's ruled by fire also, very big, bold. And Leos are very, like I said, confident in themselves. So when they communicate, it's very like, me, this is what I want. This is like, they're very proud of themselves. And when they communicate, it'll be you can sense that pride whenever they talk. And then their Venus is in Cancer. She's a little bit of a lover girl. And then the Mars is also in Leo. So honestly, like looking at this birth chart, yes, although there's two conflicting elements of fire versus water, but I think it adds a lot of depth to this person because it shows that they're very like emotional, but they're also kind of like very headstrong because of that Leo sun. Like they're very confident and driven, especially with a Leo Mars. I have a Leo Mars for myself personally, and I know other Leo Mars natives as well. Like it's very like, I know what I want and I'm gonna get what I want and I'll figure it out how I'm gonna get it, but I know I'll get it. So they're very confident in themselves. And then again, it's very rare to have a stellium in your birth chart to begin with, let alone to have two stelliums and those two stelliums being again opposite ends in the element spectrum, but also being very literally looking at the chart, it's like fire, water, fire, water, fire. Okay.
That's awesome. And that very much sounds exactly like how I know the spy, we didn't like it, very much sounds like how she was depicted in that story and also in her entire life.
Well, I was gonna say our complaint about that book was that we felt like it wasn't really based on, like we didn't get to know the real Mata Hari through reading that book. But now I'm like, did Paulo Coelho just like look up her birth chart and then construct the character based on that? Because it seems like it matches
It does
characterization
seem
in
like
the
it
book. We just
matches.
don't know. We just don't know if the book is accurate to the real Mata Hari.
Yeah, but in terms of the book, it was accurate. This was our most hated book of the season. So,
Oh,
which is
tough.
unfortunate because Mata Hari is a very, very interesting individual. Speaking of interesting individuals,
Aaron's favorite.
my favorite Rip Hamm that you would have loved hearing about your birth chart in the year 2024, but unfortunately you died at age of 11. This is Shakespeare's son Hamnet, who was a real person, but because birth records weren't really kept super good track of back in the time, we kind of have to make some estimates in order to do a proper reading.
Yes. So I kind of talked about this a little bit earlier, but it was so hard trying to get birth chart information even in the 1800s. And so obviously Shakespeare's were able to get his because he was a famous person and his birth information was, I guess, a lot more well kept than his son's. But kind of assuming we do have Hamnet's baptism date, which was February 2nd of 1585. And I looked up online kind of what the tradition was in terms of timing from one's birth date and their baptism. And it was assumed within the first 4 weeks of life. So, assuming in, so Hamnet was either, depending on how quickly he got baptized, a Capricorn towards the end or an Aquarius. I love Aquariuses. So, I will be talking about the Aquarius sun. We're going to assume Aquarius baptism. That's if you're talking within the church, that's technically your church's birth date. So February 2nd, Aquarius sun for Hamnet. Aquariuses are kind of how I alluded to earlier. They want to leave a mark on this world within their lifetime for like the betterment of society. They're always kind of wanting to like, how can I improve the world? They're very more motivated towards philanthropic purposes than I would say like the Capricorn counterpart. Capricorns are a lot more known for kind of like, they're very driven for success. They're very motivated. They're very headstrong because they are an earth sign versus Aquarius is kind of learned from their Capricorn older brother. And they're also equally as driven, but they're also socially aware in how they can improve the world around them. They're stereotypically known for being having a big ego, but honestly, I think they're misinterpreted for that because they're always having to be very introspective and thinking, okay, what's going on in my life? What's going on like internally, like that I'm experiencing? And obviously, if I'm experiencing this, like other people are too, how can I prevent from other people to like go through similar situations? Or like, how can I make this like more efficient and like effective? I just love Aquarius suns. And honestly, just the sign of Aquarius, because they're just very philanthropic. It's hard to explain. I like myself, I'm an Aquarius rising, and it's they tend to think from like an Aquarius perspective. They think that they're like loners in this world, when in reality they're not, but they tend to kind of like self-isolate because they're working so hard to try to like improve the life around them.
I say this is very interesting for Hamnet because he's a child. He died at the age of 11. He could only do so much. But his whole focus, so his sister, his twin, Judith, had the plague, and his whole focus as a character in the first half of the book was like helping her get better and wanting to take on the plague for himself rather than see her suffer with it. So it's really interesting to hear you talk about the philanthropic nature.
Yeah, they're very much like, especially when it comes to like people that they care about, like it's so hard to get an Aquarius. It's stereotypical, but it's hard to get an Aquarius to kind of like love you, or kind of like when an Aquarius, when you get the attention from an Aquarius and an Aquarius admires you and they want you in their life, they will be so protective. They're locked in. They're for lifers ultimately. And so that says a lot about ultimately they're very protective. They want to take care of the world around them, and even more so like their personal world, like the people in their life, the material possessions. Like they're just very like, when you have them in, you have them locked in, and they're very just like self-motivated towards just bettering those around them and like bettering the world. And they don't really care about how it affects them. Ultimately, they just want to leave a lasting impact on the world, but as long as for the betterment of society and like moving them forward.
And Hamnet truly left a lasting impact on me and Grace, if nothing else. He was also the inspiration presumed. I mean, at least in the book, it's painted to be the inspiration for Hamlet. His Shakespeare's play.
What made more of an impact though, us reading Hamnet or the greatest play in English literature?
Oh, definitely us reading Hamnet, for sure. It changed my life, at least. I love how much we get to talk about Hamnet on our pod social media and no one knows what the fuck we're talking about half the time.
They just need to get with the memo.
So for this last character we're talking about, it's a little bit different. And Grace, because you loved this book and I didn't, I'm going to have you give Noelle just a very, very brief rundown of how astrology plays into the luminaries.
Okay, Noelle. So we read this book called The Luminaries.
It was the one I was reading in Japan, and I was complaining.
Oh my gosh, on the train.
Yes. Yes, Noelle was on the famous plane, on the famous trip to Japan.
Yes.
So The Luminaries is very long and very involved. It had star charts at the beginning of every part. There were 12 parts.
Oh, cool.
And at first we just were like, we're not really sure what these are for. Astrology isn't referenced within the text of the book. And we're just like, I don't know what's going on. But it turns out, doing my research, that the characters were all constructed with the star charts in mind over this little Australian town. Or excuse me, the star charts were constructed that were real over this little New Zealand town. And all of the characters' motivations were written based on their star chart. So every character was assigned an astrological sign or another celestial body. For example, the character we're going to talk about is Anna, and Anna is the sun.
She's actually the sun / the moon.
Well, she takes her turns being the sun and the moon.
She takes her turn.
But there are 12 characters who are peripheral to the action of the story.
I was going to ask whether 12 characters per 12 of the chapters that you were referring to, because there's 12 signs.
Yeah, well, that was on purpose. Eleanor Catton, the author, did that on purpose, definitely. But she, no, she said, oh, during this section, during this month of 1860, whatever, Gemini was in Mercury. So that means in during this month, the character that is Gemini has to be in thrall to the character who is Mercury. And that's how the plot was constructed.
Oh, cool. I definitely should read that, Aaron. I don't know why you're giving me the comments that you're giving me when we were in Japan.
Damn, calling out. I believe I said this during the pod episode. I appreciate the book a lot more hearing all the research that went into it. Didn't pick up on it as a reader. It wasn't something I was looking for.
But
And
Noelle, you might pick up on it.
you might pick up on it. I would actually love to hear you or someone who's like into astrology read it and get their review.
Because
Oh
when
my
you
God.
open it up on the front page, there's a page. Like, you know how sometimes you open up a book, like a fantasy book, and it'll have a map in the front?
Yeah.
This one, you open it up, and it's the list of the 12 characters and what sign they are. There's one character who is the Earth, and then there are like six characters that are the planets,
And
basically.
I looked at it and I said, I don't need to know this, and turned the page. So,
Okay, question then. Is that Earth character the main character?
the whole book centers around a
Different character.
man who's found murdered, and the dead guy is Earth.
Okay, interesting. I was gonna ask because I was like, none of the signs in astrology are ruled by Earth, so I was curious if the characters that are each ruled by each of the different planets slash the signs that they're in kind of like played a story around this Earth character.
Yeah, and they kind of do, because it's how
He's
they're
like
all like
central to the
coming.
story, but because he's dead, he's not acting, he's not influencing, but he's what's keeping everyone central.
But we picked Anna to talk about because she's one of the main characters in the book. She's also like the only tolerable one to read about, in my
He's
opinion.
the girl. There's two
She's like the
girls.
only girl.
There's two girls, and the other one is evil. So we picked this one.
Ooh, I'm curious about the other character too. This might be an offline chat.
No, Ellie's going to be checking this book out from the library immediately.
I literally am. I'm gonna like listen to the audiobook on Spotify after this and listen to it on my commute into work.
Let me know how many
Right up my
hours the
alley.
audiobook is.
Okay, actually, I hate to burst an audio bubble, but
Oh, yeah.
it is an Audible exclusive audiobook.
I
Oh,
forgot Grace had like.
just such garbage.
Oh.
But let's get into talking about Anna, who is the sun slash the moon.
Yeah, so I'm really curious now that I was given. So when I got the list of characters, I was just given Anna represents sun and moon. So when I was prepping my notes for this episode, obviously going in blind and hearing what I just asked questions on, I have no context on like plot or story or
We
anything.
did do that on purpose because we did want the live reactions.
Yes, and I love that because the way I have it prepped on my notes, so obviously if they represent the sun and moon, I kind of like jotted down like Leo sun question mark Cancer moon question mark, which is oddly enough the same placements as our sweet friend Mata
Oh,
Hari. But we
hell
don't even
yeah.
need to go into tons of detail.
Well, I'm a little curious now because so the sun in astrology is often represented by the sign of Leo. So the Leo is, like I said, very strong, very like big personality, very confident in themselves. They have very big hair. I love Leos. And then the moon is very nurturing and they rule the sign of Cancer. And the sun is a masculine sign and the moon is a feminine sign. And so just because of the element and if we go into mythology also, it just represents like the mother for the moon sign. And Cancer is known for being like the mother of all 12 signs. And then Leo is going back to mythology, I think it's in Greek mythology. I can't remember the exact god that rules Leo, Zeus, obviously, like the big honcho, very masculine, very like confident, because literally Zeus. But kind of like hearing what you guys just said, and if Anna switches and represents different signs at different points of the book, looking at it, obviously, definitely has to show like they either have that Leo sun, Cancer moon dynamic, which is why they represent those elements very well. Because if your sun is in Leo, it shows that you are a true Leo sun and you exude the elements and the traits that like the sun sign. Because that's like in its home base. Like when Libra is in Venus and you have a Venus in Libra, that is perfect because Libra is ruled by Venus. And so when you have your Leo, your sun in Leo, and Leo is ruled by the sun, that's at its home base. And same for that Cancer moon, it just shows that like them, those placements together just shows, like I said previously with our friend Matahara, it's just like a really good combination for them to have because fire and water, although on paper doesn't go well, but having those two placements in their home base just shows that one, they're very confident in themselves, but they're also very in tuned with their emotions. I wish we had a birth date at least, because that would give us more information on like their plan of communication, their Mars or Venus, and just kind of like see more beyond just sun sign and your moon sign.
What's really interesting about Anna kind of having that dual is that she's almost dual in the book too. So how we're introduced to her is like she's this drug addict prostitute, and that's all there is to her. But then as we get to know her more, we learn her whole backstory and how she was basically like tricked and forced into becoming a prostitute. She went there, she's in love, like all of this other stuff that makes her a much more like caring and tender-hearted figure than what she's initially presented as. So it's very interesting to see how that sun and moon comes across there.
Yeah, and honestly, like hearing that, it just shows that with that Cancer moon, they are definitely very in tune with what experiences they had gone through. And their Leo sun shows that she's able to strive through those hardships and those like hard emotions and like trauma and process to still kind of survive. So she has like a fighter spirit with that Leo sun placement.
So I feel like honestly, it's a long book. It's an 800 page plus, like it's a long haul. So we'll give you all of season two to read it. And then our season two bonus episodes, we would like a book report from you on the luminaries.
On our desk, end of season two.
I will love that. Would you like that in Chicago format too? I
Yes,
can
please,
write it out.
always. My preferred sighting format. I have found this to be very insightful and also scary accurate into at least how I read all of these characters. Grace, would you agree?
Yeah, maybe we believe in astrology a little bit more now, listeners? Question mark.
We
Wow.
should have said that at the beginning, whether or not we believe in astrology. I do. But this has kind of confirmed it a bit more, and also in a much more fun way because it's fun to see how it comes across in fiction.
I don't know if I do, but I like what our good friend Eleanor Catton, author of The Luminaries, has to say about it, which is I like it, and but I don't take it too seriously. Like it's fun. It informs what you want it to inform. And I say to that, kudos.
No, and I 100% agree. Like I for myself could ask Aaron, you guys could ask anyone else in my life. I love to use astrology for fun. That's why I said it was like a bar trick. But also, like, if you're looking into kind of like wanting to learn more about your own birth chart and just kind of figure out, learn a little bit more than you already know about yourself, it's always interesting to see, like, when you look at your birth chart and overlay across like the current sky, it just gives you themes that you may be going through in life. But it's ultimately learn more about it. This is why I am the way I am, but also keep it lighthearted. And I love to see it in fiction. So I'm definitely going to pick up the Luminaries and read that myself for next season.
Grace, you're about to convert everyone that in my life into a luminary lover, except for me. And I'm just going to be standing angrily in the corner.
I was going to say, I think it's 2-1 right now. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm losing this battle. But anyways, Noelle, thank you so much for being our first special guest on this very special bonus pod episode. We have loved having you and love learning more about astrology.
Oh my gosh, thank you for having me. I'm so honored to have been the first, and hopefully this will not be the last going into season two and beyond. So I'm
Yes,
excited.
we would love to have you
Absolutely.
back. In the meantime, until our season two premiere, I believe we'll have one more bonus episode after this.
Yes, so check back next week.
And in the meantime, make sure you're following us on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram at FiverFlop_pod.
And if you have any other questions for us, general queries, you can email us at fiberflop@gmail.com.
And in the meantime, happy astrology.
Happy astrology!